No cap, nightcap. No cap, nightcap. No cap, nightcap. No cap, nightcap. Welcome to another No Cap Nightcap. Thank you for tuning in. Tonight, the Church of John 10:16. The message. God's in training. God's in training. Stay tuned. Welcome to another sermon with God the Mother and God the Father. You and I. First, let's open with prayer. I welcome you, Mother God, Father God. Without you, there is no me. Move, heal, set free, and deliver, Father God, Mother God. You are welcome in my place. Pour your anointing on this place. Move by your Spirit in this place. Touch all those listening and all those who should be listening. Touch those listening in Asia. I see you. Touch those listening in Germany and Ethiopia. And all my family listening right here in the United States of America. Thank you, God. All love. All day. Amen. Our Lady. What it do? What it do? What it do? Bird's eye view is where I'm preaching from today. This is the Church of John 10:16. I am the bishop, the knight, the castle, the king and the pawn in search of a queen. It is I, Ron Gilmore Jr., 100% all the time. Today's message is after a big snow, no driving, barely walking, snow up to my knee in some cases. Seattle had snow for real last week. which is why we didn't have a show. I was too busy liberating stuck vehicles. I got some things done though, you know. I did liberate two cars on the way back home. I parked about a half a mile away from my house. Why? There's a bridge, a really big bridge, and there's zero snow trapping the cars parked below it. No one parks there for fear of the homeless encampment there. I parked there. No problem. So, and it was the perfect spot. From the 510 and the 504, right now in the 206, I'm moving using ingenuity, prayer, and to God be the glory all the time. Overall, my total liberations was about seven cars. You know, the gratitude to be free was awesome. Basically, myself in a boat oar. Seven cars and about 9 or 10 people. So, today we will speak about how you are a God according to the Bible. With scripture to back. Don't worry, I'm going to make sure you have scripture. A little bit about persecution, what that looks like sometimes, and the fruit that we are producing. We've gone through a lot over time. And right when the wall seems a little too high, that's exactly when the breakthrough happens. Reparations. Is a fruit on our tree of struggle. That has sweetened in the sunlight. And that rain is about to fall. We're also going to talk, you know, kind of situations I've faced during my own travels, you know, and the unique level of struggle Black people feel outside of everybody else. Black people, we are persecuted without remorse in an unjust way because we are. That's it. We are who we are. If you can do everything God does, then could it be possible that we are being trained to be God right now? You know, our tree is in the process of bearing fruit for us right now. And all this persecution we've had up to this point almost seems fundamental to our preparation, and I'm not making room for it. But it seems to be consistent enough to ask the question, was this intentionally set up? Sure, the government has done horrendous things to perpetuate the madness that is black life in the United States of America. But it seems so steadfast, set in motion, you know, that it seems like there was just divine help in this. Kind of like a Job situation for an entire society, for an entire lineage, in my case. I am a son of God, which makes me a God in training. The son grows up to be the father. The Bible backs that up. John 10:34, when Jesus answered them, saying, Is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? That's John 10:34. You know, the first coming of Christ ended with God's persecution. The second coming will be reversed, I think, you know. Our persecution will usher in the change, the paradigm shift. This time, the small g gods will be persecuted to bring back the big G God, the God of love, the original message of Christ, you know. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. What is this saying? Love yourself first. There is no love without this first love of self. Love of self will be the path of the new world that we create post-reparations. Sometimes I wonder if it's possible that God's return will not be something physical that we're expecting, but perhaps in a return in the spirit. Antiquitous texts talk about a ma'at, M-A apostrophe A-T, and how this spirit washes over crowds of people when they are gathered together in unison, some order of some sort. And so, I mean, I just wonder if it's possible sometimes, because maybe, you know, God's return will be in like some sort of crushing feeling of love for one another that will just wash over us, that will only produce tears of love and joy. Is that possible? Because that could be coming. I mean, sometimes we gotta go through to know who be the way out of no way. Hallelujah. You got to know yourself first. You got to know you. Hallelujah. This message is specifically for American descendants of slavery. And I want to give you guys a little story that happened to me while I was walking to the store in the snow. There's a lady and her boyfriend or husband or whatever. They passed and stopped in front of me, you know, almost kind of cut me off a little bit. And I kind of stopped and watched to see what was going on. I don't like to just rush past people like that. And the woman turns back and looks at me and rolls her eyes so hard I thought that, you know, her eyes were about to roll out into the snow. I live in the CD, you know, Central District. I'm a black man from New Orleans, you know that. It's kind of poetic justice that I randomly land here in this historic or historical black environment. Now Vietnamese environment. In any case, old girl, she looked Asian and I chalked it up to that. You know, white husband, Asian wife, I've dealt with that. Dealt with a type of racism before. You know, they both were dressed well, you know, so not just crazy people on the streets. I later saw them in a boba shop and she looked at me again with disgust and I'm thinking, do I know her? Like, I mean, you know, I'm just, you know, trying to figure out if I've known her in the biblical sense, you know. In any case, but I didn't, I really didn't. So she took off her beanie though, and check this out, a whole entire afro fell out. She was a light-skinned black female with a white man, and I've dealt with this situation too in Seattle. It's a little insane. Black women with white men and their disdain for black men. It's really sad. But if that return is that feeling of love, imagine a return in that situation. She won't be able to look at her significant other without feeling the same level of hate and disgust she felt towards me. You know, like, cue the deluge of tears for that relationship. It could all be coming, beloved. I want you all to know that your pain isn't in vain. I know it looks a certain way sometimes. And those of you who know how to smell when the rain is coming, know this, that you can smell that coming like the rain. That feeling is going to wash over people. You know, you have people out there, like black people out there treating other black people like dirt for no reason at all. They feel the pressure of racism too. Yet they drive to support it. Suffering in silence themselves. Nothing can make me silent. The scriptures even says, even the rocks will cry out in praise. Isaiah 55, the mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. There's something growing inside of all of us, almost like a spiritual seed. This injustice is like a fertilizer for something great. Like we're being watered with societal hate and anger, jealousy, envy, all poisons. But check this out. When a camel wanders through the desert, it eats all kinds of plants that are like hyper poisonous to human beings, and it'd be poison to the body, basically. In any case, as the camels digest these poisons, it produces different sorts of things that are very, very healthy for human consumption, which is why camel milk is the closest thing to woman's breast milk. It's like camel milk can reverse diabetes, and I mean, camel milk is really good for you, just extremely, extremely healthy for you. And so I'm saying that to say that on the societal level, you know, like I said, racism, and it could be this fertilizer, you know, and we're just watered with all this horrible poison. But the fruits of our tree are always sweet and delicious to eat, you know? Reparations is growing on our tree right now. And it's going to heal a lot of what we are. Excuse me. It's going to also heal some of what was done to hurt us and to hurt our process of growth. Reparations is a debt owed. You don't go into a restaurant, order up all the food. When the bill comes, you negotiate with how you're going to pay. Oh, here, I'll give you some education on this particular subject in exchange for everything that me and all of my people ate. No, no, no. You pay for the food. You don't negotiate the type of currency you're going to use. You pay for the food. You don't go outside the restaurant and say, look at all the stuff that I've done for all these other restaurants. No, you didn't eat the food from those restaurants. You ate at my restaurant. It's time for you to pay me. You know? And there is, say, in this reparations argument, there is a situation where the restaurant owners were paid. It's just that, you know, as soon as the payment was given, it was taken away again. And it's like, wait a minute. Give us what's owed to us. Don't tell us that, oh, you should have asked as soon as we finished eating. Well, we did. And we've been asking. And we're still asking. Thank God that we are still asking. And you should thank God, too, that we're still only asking. We're going to go to a commercial break right now. And I'll give you guys a holler in a second.
Turn me up in the mic.
Yeah.
nightcap, low cap, nightcap, no cap, nightcap.
Back once again. This is Ron Gilmore, Church of John 10:16. Before the break, we were just talking about, you know, reparations, healing us in certain ways, how we grow and whatnot. I believe that this is one of those final showdowns. Spirit that has been growing inside of you versus the satanic forces scattered about you, legislating about you, denying you access, continuing to steal wealth. You know, I like to jump around situations sometimes. Y'all know that about me, but I'm going to talk about something right now. There's a situation that happened to me a while back. I never really spoke about it, but I'm going to speak on it right now. You know, the situation where we have non-white people attacking black people regarding interracial issues between black people. It's like a black person talking to a Mexican person in an angry way about issues between Mexican people. You know what I'm saying? It's just insane. So, and this happened to me in right here in this wonderful sanctuary city of Seattle. And it happened to me, so I know it has to have happened to others, you know. And Seattle seems to have these oxymoronic situations. So, in any case, you know, I like to dance salsa, you know that. I teach it a little bit. And I was at this salsa spot called Sur, S-U-R. And there were these two Mexican girls at this spot. I didn't dance with, you know, just for the record. And they were all over me about being a light-skinned black man, saying niggas like me was making it hard for dark-skinned black men. Yes, the word niggas was dropped too. This was in front of security, who found it entertaining. God bless the two sisters who came to my refuge and defended me and chased off these two clowns. But the issue here is these two Mexican females had the audacity to tell me how my existence was hurting black people. Full stop, full chested, out in the open, ignoring the white people watching and moving around. Just insane. But if she says I did her anything, if she says, oh, he hit me, oh, good Lord, he snatched my wig, whatever, I go to jail. I go to jail. You know what I'm saying? So I have to be persecuted in a way that nobody's persecuted. You know what I'm saying? Anything that I say at that point, you know, because we're outside of a club, you know, and there's alcohol obviously involved, and so if I start talking, they start talking louder, you know what I'm saying? And then it's like all of a sudden people who are looking and watching, like, well, who's the idiot, you know what I mean? Who's really the fool, you know? And so at those points, I, you know, I kind of like to bring it into the focal point of an area, you know, like in front of the door of a security entrance, a secured entrance, so that lots of people can see what's happening, you know. And they, you know, perhaps they can, you know, get, you know, put on like YouTube or something like that, you know, some crazy ass video goes viral for them. But anyway, for the nonsense. But my point was, life and death sometimes are in the power of words, you know, by white folks. Oh, he did this, you know, that finger is dangerous, you know. But there are non-white folks and non-black people who also hold that power. And that was shown to me that night. You know what I'm saying? Had those females just pushed it further and followed me and wanted to do me harm, you know, by just making up any lie or story just because they felt some kind of way, they could have done that. And I would have been done. No one would have believed me in this woman's state. I mean, keep it 100. You know, and so I'm just, you know, pointing out that bizarre situation because I think it needs to be, you know. We need to be questioning everything until the answer stays the same, no matter what, even while jumping over these demons, you know, jumping over them along the way. It's all about love for one another, anyway. As soon as we realize we can love on each other, even if we don't agree on everything, there will be, let's say, a new world will be opened to us. One where we aren't trying to involve everybody else. You know, I appreciate allies, and I appreciate those who will fight, you know, and help who are not part of the lineage. But I want to be able to go to a house, into my own house, look around, I see my partner, I mean, you know, my partners, but my friends who are family members, basically, you know what I mean? People, you know, I see my blood, basically. I see family around the room. That's what I see, is what I'm trying to say. You know, I see aunts and uncles and cousins, and you know what I'm saying? And yeah, some of those are like homies and partners, but what I mean is I see family inside the house, you know? There is no black house like that right now that I can walk inside of. I thought there was one, you know what I'm saying? Which is why I joined the organization I did while I was at Berkeley. Find out, and walk into that house, you're gonna see grandmama, you're gonna see cousins and uncles and brothers, you know, and you're gonna see blood, you're gonna see family, you're gonna see all of that there. Then all of a sudden, you're gonna see David Duke. Then all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna see all these other different characters, and I'm not saying that they're all David Duke. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that for shock value, of course. But what I mean by that is we have a lot of actors who aren't necessarily part of the lineage and understand what needs to be done, you know, on that level, you know. And sometimes, you know, like organizations where it's purely one group of people is good. You know, obviously it works. Look at Chinatown. You know what I mean? It works, you know. I've traveled a lot and I've seen it, you know. I've seen it all over the place, you know. I'm just saying that we need organizations that are only for and populated by American descendants of slavery. Men and women, no one else allowed to join. Ethnocentric, xenophobic, whatever. If you think that I am, then you think that Chinatown should be abolished. And I want to see you out there protesting against Chinatown too. Don't tell me it's okay for one group of people to do one thing, and when another group of people try to do the same thing, then all of a sudden it's, that's so horrible, you're just locking everyone out. You know what I mean? No, it's not we're locking everybody out. It's just that we need a place and a space for us. You know, no matter where I go on the planet, I run into indigenous groups doing this sort of thing, banking together, you know, running their businesses together, naming their banks after their groups, you know. Amara, Romeo, you know what I mean? When I was in Ethiopia, I saw this, you know, like up close and personal, you know. And I was unable to join these groups because I was African American. Because, you know, I'm a black man from the United States. I'm not part of their lineage. And I get it. And that's beautiful. And that's wonderful. And they bring that here and they start stores and they start business communities and all kinds of things, you know. They build housing, you know, and restaurants. That's beautiful. Why are you going to stand in the way when I do it? Why are you going to tell me I'm xenophobic? Why are you going to tell me I'm ethnocentric? And yes, there are clowns out there that will say that I'm being racist or I'm being prejudiced. No more than Chinatown. I want to see a black town. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. You know what I mean? That's where I'm at. But we are so far behind in the race and we've been intentionally kept back that, you know, we need, you know, a black town in every state immediately. You know what I mean? And then, you know, we need full reparations immediately. You know, I mean, there's so many things that need to happen at once, you know. And I believe reparations involves a check. It does. You stole money. You know what I'm saying? You give that money back, period. You know, don't steal gold from me and then give me turds dipped in chocolate telling me they're candy bars. And it's just interesting, though. Sometimes, you know, I just sit back and think, you know, while I was in Ethiopia, I was watching, you know, that, you know, while I can't have access to these businesses and these banking lineage groups or whatever, kind of like, I guess, like the couscous, I think it's called, a susu, the Caribbean banking systems, the old-time banking systems. It's like that, you know? But I don't have access to it. However, just from my observation, I saw that there were white and Asians marrying into these families. And it never seems that they work as hard as black people, black men and women, when we marry into other families. And I believe it's this way because those other families are looking for acceptance from the white or the Asian family. Whereas when a black person marries into a foreign family, those foreign people are looking at black people as if those black people should be working for their acceptance, if that makes sense. And it has nothing to do with anything except their whiteness or their Asianness or whatever, you know? But it's just also so bizarre to me as a black man looking around and knowing that we opened up our everything to Africa. You know, Africa, north, east, south, and west. What have we gotten back? American descendants of slavery. We call ourselves African American. Our love, our honor, and respect for Africa is documented. It's documented across all mediums. Movies, cuisine, hip hop, other music, sports. I mean, we give thanks to Africa. What has Africa done to show any sort of solidarity with us? And I'm talking big picture here. You know, I know you probably got a partner around the corner that's cool. You know what I'm saying? And he'll fix your tire for free. You know what I'm saying? I got it. I'm not talking about that one person. I'm talking about big picture, bird's eye view of the whole situation. I'm talking, like, say, African venture capitalists. I can see Silicon Valley, the whites, you know, there, like, whatever, we ain't helping you compete against us because we know you're going to destroy us. They know it. They know it. They know it. You give black folks a chance with an economic stimulus that's real, we're going to blow buku businesses out of the water. And they all know that. So they have to keep us oppressed economically. But where are the African venture capitalists? Hello? Where are they? Where are the African business communities bringing their banking dollars here to build, spend, and create with us? ADOS, American Descendants of Slavery. I mean, we don't have to say all of Africa. Let's just go directly to West Africa. What about a West African country? Like I said, not all of Africa. Let's just focus our attention on West Africa. Any biz communities they've built here for us? Any African venture capitalists here focusing on us? Any African venture capitalists with billions, and they have them, trust me, they do, that can invest in us as a community and back our products, back our inventions. I mean, we have a huge track record of inventions. Some obviously stolen, others patented, which was another way of stealing it from us. But where are our diasporatic brothers and sisters from West Africa who control the modes of production in their countries? That would be awesome. That would show solidarity. That would be like, hey, look, they got a little business community set up right over there that's funded by Nigeria, say, or that's funded specifically for banks from the people on the ground that want to build up black people here so that black people here can help them over there. Hallelujah. Why not do that? Why haven't they done that? I mean, they do it to everybody else. I'm just wondering, you know? I'm just wondering. I need to take another break. So, let me go ahead and do this real quick. Take this break. And I'm going to drop y'all with this little jammy jam. Here you go. Welcome back. Church of John 10:16. God's in Training is the sermon today. Before we left, I was going to tell you a story. And I actually wrote something about this after I witnessed it. But it goes, she was a black female running away. She was a black female running away. She was a black female running away. This is what the bus driver told the sheriff as he called in, refusing to allow her on the bus. She was Ados. She was an American descendant of slavery. The bus driver was African. Very thick accent as he called in. You know, he wouldn't open the doors for her, so she kicked it, you know. And then he opened it, and then while he was, you know, calling the police on her or whatever. And so she like darted across the street, you know. But I mean, it's like, are we gonna go through this all over again? Like this sort of Rosa Parks situation, but by Africans this time? Do you know that Michigan's deeply conservative 2022 gubernatorial hopeful Austin Tshinge, an African candidate, will be running on abolishing Black History Month? Why come here and do that? Stay there and do that. Stay where you are and do that. What have we allowed amongst us? Africa, all that we have done from our position here to help you, and this is what you give to us, the best you offer us are these African men who appear to be possessed with the spirit of white man. On a state and city level, you know. Seattle. Why is it that Rainier Mall is crumbling and black businesses need home offices? Fix it and house black businesses. I mean, I've seen several spots like this. It's not your jurisdiction. Okay, so help us lobby to get this done with your neighbor city. Rainier Mall could be renovated and turned into a business complex specifically for native black businesses. No rent, you know. Allow the businesses to grow and flourish and keep their profits, you know. The city can, you know, put together some sort of a 10-year cutout budget to germinate native black business growth here. You know, this could be the first office of Eidos Affairs. With, you know, I mean, I'm not an economist, okay? But if the gavel was in my hand and I had to just write up something real quick, I would be like, okay, so here's $509,000 per year for 20 years, budget funded immediately. Meeting adjourned. Starting this year, meeting adjourned. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure a budget like that for two people, like say, Yvette Carnell with At Breaking Brown and Antonio Moore with Tone Talks. If they had a building, no rent, no worry about paying for electricity and water, none of that, a building that was theirs with a budget of $509,000. Fully funded for 20 years. They have done what they've done for almost nothing. Can you imagine funding somebody in a way that's transformative? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You know, we could, I mean, it would revolutionize our efforts towards full reparations to American descendants of slavery. I mean, the whole nine, you know, we could, I mean, we could have classes there, you know, for free for all native black folks, you know, everybody else must pay, you know, a little nominal fee, you know, something like $250 per month, you know, with a 3-year membership. You know what I mean? We could promote black business, make it a place for black people to be, to just be. The Office of Eidos Affairs. Just to liven things up a bit, we're sliding in a new section of the show called What if now, what if Genesis was told to us intentionally reversing the time of the genders. You know? I mean, we know the first God on the planet was a woman. I mean, there was a lot of woman haters writing and translating throughout history, antiquitous, you know, right now. So, you know what I'm saying? Adam being Eve, Eve being Adam. Not that Adam was a woman. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to stir up the freak show. I'm not saying anything like that. No. What I am saying is, perhaps Eve was created first. And then Adam came out of her Tesla. You know? Tesla, the Hebrew word for rib. That's the word that's used in the Bible. Tesla. What if God actually impregnated Eve like God impregnated Mary? I mean, Eve technically would be the first daughter. You know, I mean, I don't, you know, it's just, it's kind of insane thinking. But, I mean, Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, or something like that, it said. And, but I mean, what if Eve was, if that happened to Eve first, you know? And then, and, you know, the word Tesla in the Bible, you know, go open it up and do the research for yourself. The word Tesla then would make, you know, a lot of sense here, because it would be speaking of a procedure that sounds similar to a cesarean, you know, that Adam was taken from Eve's side, you know, as opposed to Eve being taken from Adam's side, you know. In this, like I said, in this sense, it, you know, if God was taking Adam out of the side of Eve, that would sound like, you know, a procedure we call cesarean, you know, thus, you know, making the Adam and Eve story it would make more sense, you know. Just pause and consider that, you know, and just attack on top of that, if we just zoom forward in this light, maybe God perhaps, you know, had us put in this order for this reason, you know, and I'm gonna just say this really quickly, you know, and I've said this before, but men, we spend 9 months, up to 9 months, a little bit more, inside the womb of a woman. You know what I'm saying? Her emotions, her blood, her oxygen levels, everything pulsing through the life of who we are. Okay? That's not necessarily the same for men, you know. You know, and I think that's intentional. And I've, you know, talked about this before. You know, I feel that women are very spiritual, and their spiritual eyes see way out in front of us, way more than men. And because of this, women needed a partner, needed someone here to help physically do things. You know, her spirit was strong, but needed a physical, and that's where men came in, and that's why our design is as it is. But we marinated inside of women for 9 months to pick up on a little bit of that spiritual energy so that we can adhere to that knowledge or that command or that foresight, you know, that prickliness on the back of your neck or whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's like, maybe I've said too much, but maybe if I stop, you can just let that sit in your brain for a little bit and let that marinate, you know. But in this light, you know, perhaps, you know, God wants us to be here on earth to learn, to grow old and go through everything we go through, because all of it becomes knowledge and understanding, so that when we die, we are able to use all that we have learned, here, all that we've gone through and experienced, all scenarios and situations, are logged and backed up in our in who we are. And so in death, it's possible then to do certain things that we are unable to do, while we are alive, okay? And perhaps that is why, one of the reasons why Jesus came, and gave us that blueprint. Jesus came, he lived a rough life, only to be killed by the police of the time, showing us the pattern by which we live, struggle, die, then live again, thus completing the loop of perfection. Apparently the Bible was cleansed of all its wording on reincarnation. I don't know if that's true or not. But dying and living again sounds like reincarnation a little bit. Jesus died. Jesus also raised Lazarus from the dead. What do you think? I can do all things, hallelujah. You know what I mean? So, if I can do all things, then I can do those things too. So I'm just saying, just to kind of sum it all up, I walk on water every time it rains. You feel me? God must have had the ability to be extremely witty and humorous. So, I put my social media in the description so you can communicate with me directly. Holler at me. Tell me what you think about these what ifs that I've presented here. What if, like I said, Eve was created first and Adam was then taken from her Tesla. Tell me what you think. Holler at your boy. Peace. Welcome back from the break. What if I hope that didn't make you forget about what we was talking about. I'm reminded of Lewa Woody. Before the break, we were talking about Rainier Mall and black business. I believe that we are in a moment right now where things will just begin to fall apart. All the little bitty tiny holes that the traders use to swim through and poke through without disrupting anything are going to become bigger, and they're going to fall into the soup too. Black politicians, entertainers, artists, professionals, fast food employees. If you are walking people away from reparations, that is an act of treachery. And your masters know. Come on. Your masters know that you can't be trusted. Once they use you, though, guess what? You getting hung too. This is not a time for cowards. God hates cowards. time to fight. Fight for your people, American descendants of slavery. I said all these things to say we are so special. There are groups all around the world in every country forming specifically to work against us or to oppress us a little bit more. Isn't it interesting that every country has a specific term for black people? I'll tell you one. In Spanish, mayate. Just saying. A lot of countries have special names for us. I lived in Asia for a long time. They all have special names for us too. Why? Well, perhaps it's for them to be able to conspire against us and it be pointed. We want to work against these people. We are gods in training. It takes gods to turn this sort of tide in the opposite direction. Turn it into our favor. But watch. We were made in God's image. We can do all things. Why? Because all things are possible with God. And if God lives in us and we can do all things that God can, Exodus 3:14 specifically speaks about the I am. Once again, that's Exodus 3:14. It speaks about I am. Listen to what you are saying. We were made in God's image. We can do all things. All things are possible with God. God lives in us. What do I tell him when I roll up on him? Tell him I am. Exodus 3:14. You know, I looked up the Hebrew translation of this phrase, I am. Here's what it said. I am that I am is a common English translation of the Hebrew phrase, Eya Aser Eya. Also, I am who I am. I will become what I choose to become. I am what I am. I will be what I will be. I create whatever I create. Or I am the existing one. Now, all these are tied to the Hebrew phrase. Eya, Aser, Eya. Okay, now, the traditional English translation within Judaism favors I will be what I will be, because there is no present tense of the verb to be in the Hebrew language. So, standing on Exodus 3:14, I am fighting. I am educating myself and others, I am publicly giving my thoughts, ignoring persecution because of what I am saying is not popular. I am because we are. Thank you. That was Ron Gilmore Jr., Church of John 10:16, no cap, nightcap. You know, God created us, and if you believe that, you know, then you believe also that God has an obligation to us, just as we have an obligation to take care of the creations we bring into the world also. God is our example to be God-like. The Holy Father, the Holy Mother, the Holy Child, that is the Holy Trinity. That is why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, because I personally believe that women were wiped out of the Bible in a way that left her slot a Holy Ghost. Spirit. So you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have two men. And that to me is a homosexual relationship. Okay? You have a father, you have two men, you have a father and a son, and that's it. And that's just weird to me. You know, when you're talking about creation and you're talking about, you know, two people who come together to create something. You know, you need a man, you need a woman to create a child. And that was the Holy Trinity. That was the setup. That was, this is what I'm showing you. And, you know, God is kind of telling us, hey, this is how it is in heaven. This is how it is on earth. You know, you have a man, you have a woman, and you have the child. That's how that works. And it's just weird to spin it some other way where women are outside of that, where we don't give honor to the women. You know, that was the original Holy Trinity. And that is why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. We are gods in training. By the way, I was reading some of the lost and rejected scriptures and found that Ciroc, yes, that vodka pushed in the hip-hop community, Ciroc was a city located between Sodom and Gomorrah. Peace and blessings, family. What it do, No Cap Nightcap fans. This next piece was a song written, arranged, performed, and recorded in Daegu, South Korea by my band, Linus. It consisted of Rob from New Zealand, a guitarist, Werner from South Africa, a drummer, Craig from New Zealand, a bassist, and Kaiman, also from New Zealand, the rhythms guitar. And yours truly, I hope you enjoy.
Cross my mind. I don't wanna wear this crown, leaving the scene when a heart's been broken. I'm doing fine. The one that got away, you got to be joking. I didn't know that you were mine. Till you cross my mind. And I don't know what it takes when happiness doesn't mean anything. And I don't know what it takes when happiness doesn't mean anything. So I don't wanna hear you cry, playing the fool, it comes so easy. Give up to you, I swear, if you believe me. I didn't know that you were mine. I didn't know that you were mine until you crossed my mind. And I don't know what it takes when happiness doesn't mean.